him and protect him. Heavenly Father, I ask that you would just speak through me, that your Holy Spirit would just encourage my words. In Jesus' name, amen. I guess we'll have to start out this past Christmas. We're all together, and I played a song called "The Piano Man" by Billy Joel, and the song was special because it talked about it was a favorite song of my dad, and that's I guess where we all have to start when speaking about my testimony. It all begins on February 2nd, 1994, on my mom's birthday. It was her birthday, so, you know, like every other little kid who's 10 years old, you know, you're at school and you're making her a little homemade card for her birthday and things like that, and you're all excited and you bring it home and you give it to her and she's all happy, you know, pretend she likes it. You know, it's just a bunch of scribbles with Crayola crayon, you know, but they always pretend that they enjoy it anyway. So anyways, later that night, we go to sleep and all of a sudden, me and my sister are awakened by my brother, if I can remember correctly, and he says, "Guys, you have to go. You have to go to the hospital." And, you know, we didn't know anything, so we all got up and hopped in the car and went on to the hospital. And when we get there, we find out that my dad had fallen, hit his head on the ice, and it knocked him unconscious, and his brain wasn't sending anything to the heart to tell it to beat anymore. So it took them 25 minutes to get his heart going again. And so we were there, and he went into a coma. And then finally, through all that, 3 days later, we decided as a family that it was time to shut the machines off and see if he would live or not. And sure enough, he died, nice and easy at least, and he went to the Lord. And I guess at 10 years old, I couldn't believe, I was a believer then, and I couldn't believe that God would ever do that. Why would he ever take my dad? Why would he ever do that to me? And I was angry with him. I was mad at him. I was like, "Lord, why have you taken my dad? You know, I'm only 10. What am I going to do?" And, you know, I remember, when they shut the machines off, I remember being with Mark, my uncle, and I just remember crying out, you know, "God, why did you do this? Why me?" You know? And, and then if that wasn't enough, you know, I was thinking all these things are going bad in my life, you know, like less than a month later. So then what happens is immediately the Lord starts attacking me. I mean, not the Lord, sorry, the enemy. I wish the Lord knew. But anyways, the enemy started attacking me from all angles in my life, and I was filled with so much guilt and so much frustration and anger that I began saying, "No, I'm going to do it without God. I don't need him. He's only going to hurt me." So less than a month later, of course, my mom goes into the hospital and she has cellulitis. And I remember big fat ear and thinking, you know, "Oh my goodness, she's going to die too, you know, and then what's going to happen?" So all these things going through my head and I'm always worrying all the time. Like I remember worrying every time we got in the car, we're going to run out of gas. And it's just a stupid thing like that, but it was controlling everything I did throughout my life, and I let it do that. And I let that bondage wrap me up, and I couldn't do anything about it. And that's what sin does to you when you let it engulf you and try to go along without God. All that happens is sin is going to control your life. And you're going to, I kind of think of it as what was happening at that time was, you know, the Lord was always there with me, never left my side. But I feel I kind of have this visual of him kind of tying himself up like this, you know, kind of not letting himself do anything to let me realize that, you know, I can't do it without God and I can't do it without Jesus. On my own, I'm nothing and I can't do anything without him. And I have a verse here, 2 Corinthians 10:4-5 says, "The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." And I just love that verse, that whole passage, because it lets us know of the power we have against sin and against the enemy at all times. Just unbelievable power that can just shut the enemy down, and he can't do anything. And then the opposite side of the story is obviously the turning point of my life. It all begins when we were in Florida. We went on a trip. Tiffany, my sister, took me, my mom, my sister to Florida with her for a business trip. We got to stay in a nice hotel, and being poor growing up, you know, going to the nice hotel was like the greatest thing in the world. It was, you know, big time. So we got there, and all I could do was worry, because I was still controlled by the sin and by the bondage. And so we went to Disney World, like it's supposed to be the coolest thing, and it wasn't for me, because all I was thinking about was how I was going to get lost, and I was going to find my mom, because all these people were there, and I was going to let go of her hand, and then I was going to be there all by myself. I was never going to get home. I was going to have any food, which obviously isn't a problem anymore, but that's what I was thinking. Not all I would ever think about. And then one day, it's about, we wake up, and my mom says, "Oh, I got to go pick Tiffany up from her meeting." She was at a meeting, and so it was just me and my sister at the hotel room. And all of a sudden, I remember looking outside, and she's watching TV or whatever, and all I can think about is worrying about my mom outside. And then I look outside, and all the trees are just bent over, touching the ground, all the palm trees. And the wind starts blowing in, and all this stuff's going on. An angel turns it to the weather channel, and it says a hurricane's coming right towards us. And so I'm going crazy. I'm bawling my eyes out. Angel's telling me, shut up, and I'm just crying and saying, oh, we're all going to die. Mom's going to die. You know, everyone's going to die. And then finally, my mom got home, you know, running to the door, give her a hug, and I'm telling her, you know, I thought you were going to die. We're all still going to die, though, because the hurricane's still coming, even though you're back. You're not going to stop the hurricane. And I have this newspaper of Hurricane Gordon, leaves Florida killing 6. And the significance of that is when we were there, my mom sat me down, and she said this prayer with me. She said, God did not bring us here to kill us. He used natural catastrophes to draw people to himself. He will protect us, or if he allows it, he will move the hurricane. We can ask him to do this and leave it to him. And sure enough, turn on the TV, and Hurricane Gordon just switched paths. It's heading out to sea, just like that. And it's just a miracle. And I realized that, and I was amazed that God was real, you know, to me. I was like, man, he really does care for me. He didn't just abandon me. He didn't leave me there to die with the hurricane. And it was just amazing that instantly after our prayer, the hurricane turned. And that was no coincidence. And 2 Timothy 1:17 says, for God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. All this time I was going through with the spirit of fear, and I was always scared of everything, and until I realized that God loved me and that God was really there and that he will protect me and he will empower me with love. And and then my mom always gave me this verse, Isaiah 41:10. And it says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And I just love that, because it always lets you know that God is always there for you, no matter what you're going through, no matter what sin or what fear you have. God is always there for you, and he will always protect you. After that, I went through prayers on my own of saying, God, I'm sorry. I asked for forgiveness. I repented of my sin of fear and of anxiety and worrying. And I just asked him to come back into my life and to control my life once again. And he did. And that's why this is always just such a big memory for me, is that was a turning point of my testimony. That was a turning point in my life where I began to follow Christ. And so as we move on through the high school, I started to kind of fade. I kind of you could say, turned the cold water on a little bit and became a little lukewarm. I began living two lives, kind of, you know, I'm a Christian on Sunday and Wednesday, and, you know, I'm just like any normal kid throughout the rest of the week. And that really demolished my life. As God says, He engulfs the lukewarm, and I was definitely being engulfed. And so when I went to, I was completely not God-focused. I was always me-focused and grew a big head and all that and became so overconfident. And then when I went to college, it was such a life-changing experience. I went to Northwestern, where I'm going now still. I realized that, and I realized my two lives, and I once again asked God for forgiveness for that, and asked for Him to control me once again and to rid me of that lukewarm feeling, and that's what He did. And throughout my life, throughout from when my dad passed to my college experience, death has just ravaged my life with the death of so many people close to me. My Aunt Margaret, Uncle John, Uncle Hachi, Uncle Ralph, who I didn't see much, but still was meaningful. So many people have passed that it's become kind of a gathering for our family, because we're always going to funerals, it seems, every other year. And that's why I think death is just such a amazing thing, that in 1 second, a person's life can be completely changed and completely turned around and flipped upside down, and all because of death. And that's why, to me, it's just more and more amazing of the eternal life we have with Christ, because we don't have to worry about death. And I was always worrying about death until I realized the fact that with God, there is eternal life with Jesus, and that we don't have to worry about that. We don't have to worry about dying. That's just that. Throughout all this suffering, God gave me Romans 5:1-5. And I'm just going to read that really quick. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace into which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us. And, you know, I was just awesome once I read that in high school, and I was just amazed. I also asked myself, you know, why do I need so much character? Because all these people, I was going through all the suffering, all these people were dying around me. I was like, well, how come other people don't need character? How come they don't have to build character? How come that's just me? And that was obviously stupid. But that's pretty much my testimony, my growing up, my changing point, and my turning point. So I just want to talk a little bit about how I feel God has been leading me towards the youth. As a college student, eating nothing but strictly canned tuna fish. Yeah. I realized the importance of money and of a nice family that lets you come over and eat their leftovers and eat all their food and raid their cupboards and sleep in their house and whatever. And, so my main priority was, having something for money. I need work. I need to pay for school and pay for my apartment and rent and car insurance. And so I was looking for a way to make money. And I found these other jobs, and I was working 3 jobs at the same time and trying to do all this stuff and trying to do it all by myself. And finally I just sat down and I asked the Lord, Lord, help me. I want to follow You. What do You want me to do? But I also need money. I don't know, you know, how am I going to get through this without any money? And then, all of a sudden, like the very next day, my mom called me and was like, yeah, Bill left Northbrook, you know, looking for a youth pastor. I was like, oh, I'd love to do the youth, that'd be great, but how am I going to do it without any money? I can't just do it for free, I'd love to, but I can't. And then, so I prayed about that, and then the next day the pastor called me and was like, yeah, Steve, I was wondering if you'd like to do the youth. And I was like, what, did my mom talk to you? She's like, no, I just thought I'd call you. I'm like, oh, okay. And then I was like, yeah. And then he's like, well, we'll talk about money later. So we went out to lunch, and I was praying about, okay, how much would I need? Just bare minimum, how much would I need to do it? And so I figured on the sum, and then we met for lunch, and Pastor said, well, this is what all of us got together, and we decided this is how much we could give you. And it was the same exact number as what I was looking for when I said what was the bare minimum I could have, and it was that. So that was just another coincidence in my life, and just thank God for that. More focused towards the youth, what I want to really stress is application to their life, not just knowing the stuff in this book, but actually being able to apply it to their own lives and to use it in their everyday life so they don't become like me. And so I kind of wrote down, it's kind of whatever you want to call it, but I wrote down my objective in a little phrase here of what I want to do. I want to build strong, confident Christian young adults who are ready for the struggles and turbulence of real life. And that is what I want to do here. I thank you all for waiting for me to talk. It wasn't very long, but there's a Vikings game going on pretty soon. But let's bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you once again for this beautiful day you've given us. I thank you for giving me this time to share. I ask that it would hit home with a few people, that they would turn it around and apply it to their own life. Thank you, Jesus. Watch over each and every one of these people who are here today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may leave.